Thank you, choir. Well, good morning, friends. I am so happy and grateful to be here with you in worship this morning, and I want to thank you, Jeanette, and Kakua Mau for inviting me to come and do some work together in Hawaii, and to a special thanks to Kahu David. Thank you for your warm welcome and the opportunity to share my ministry here in this beautiful space. Thank you. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts find rest this day in the heart of God. As we move deeper into the Lenten journey, we hear about Jesus telling his friends that he must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Strengthened with his spiritual courage, he said it all quite openly. But what happened when he spoke up this way? When he said these very unnerving things? The text tells us that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now you can just imagine this scene, right? There's Jesus trying hard to let his people know that he will not be with them always or for much longer. Jesus knew what was ahead of him. He understood. And as hard as it was to do, Jesus embraced the reality of what was before him. And what does his dear, trusted friend Peter do? He shushes him, right? He essentially says, don't go around saying that kind of thing. No one wants to hear about that, okay? Just stop already. Now, I don't want to be too hard on Peter. I know that he loved Jesus, right? But he worried that the things that Jesus was saying were too hard to hear and could be harmful. As important as all of this was to Jesus, Peter just couldn't listen. He couldn't talk about it. Now, in the work that I do, I hear stories about people being shushed and rebuffed when they try to bring up something that's hard to talk about. You see, day in and day out, like my friend Jeanette at Kakua Mau, my work is to encourage people to have conversations about the kind of care they want or the kind of care they might not want when it comes to the end of their lives, so that their doctors and their loved ones can respect those wishes. But as people know, it's important. They tell me all the time, oh yeah, it's really, really important that we talk about this. We're just not doing it. Elders tell us stories of trying to talk, for example, to their adult daughter or son, and they get rebuffed. They get rebuked, and they say, oh, Mom, you're never going to die. And I've heard stories about it going the other way, too. A daughter who kindly asks, so Mom, you know, I may be in a position to have to make a decision for you about your health care someday. Could we talk about this? And Mom, who still sees her young daughter before her with so much love, says, oh, don't worry, honey, I'll take care of it. So this morning, I thought I'd take a risk, and I thought I would talk with you all about cultivating the spiritual courage it takes to talk about what matters most to you and to your loved ones when it comes to living and when it comes to dying. Now, before I go further, I want to say I recognize that we don't know one another and that it might seem a little off to you that a stranger is going to come up and talk about this very intimate subject with you all. Not exactly, perhaps, what you came to church for this morning. So I understand. And I get it that some of you may have recently suffered a profound loss, and that this may be too close to the bone. Or you're just feeling too vulnerable to engage in this topic today. That's okay. So I just invite you to kind of close your eyes and take a deep breath and exhale, and let your heart and mind wander somewhere else, and you can come back when we start singing again, okay? We are seekers of truth, you and I. That's what we're doing in this space. Even when the truth is difficult to welcome into the comfortable, sunlit spaces of our lives, our faith tradition encourages us to welcome truth. Now, one of the hardest truths about life is that birth is fatal. Even here in this paradise of Hawaii, the mortality rate is still holding steady at 100%. So that's a truth that's hard to get your arms around, to embrace. Yet embracing that truth, embracing the reality of our mortality, is one of the things we're called to do during Lent as we accompany Jesus and as we follow him. And I believe it is something else. I believe that embracing this truth is the entry point to a profound and mature spiritual practice, a practice for becoming more alert, more awake, more attentive to the ordinary gifts of our everyday lives. You see, if we can realize, like the psalmist does, that this is the day we have been given, this one, then we actually may spend more time rejoicing and being glad in it, right? Being clear-eyed about the fact that there is an eventual horizon to our lives, we may be motivated to spend less time, well, procrastinating, and more time saying, "I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I forgive you. Thank you." But facing mortality can also be a rocky path, a difficult life lesson that's filled with tears and letting go, heartbreak and loss, illness, aging, and death. It's no wonder, then, that so many of us just want to postpone having these kinds of conversations until they're absolutely unavoidable. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ellen Goodman wrote this story that begins, "We all think it's too early until it's too late to have these conversations." She says, "My mom was one of those people who could talk to you about your problems until you were bored with them. We talked about everything except one thing: how she wanted to live until she died." Now, she says, "Once or twice we heard about a relative or a friend who was in a coma or on a feeding tube, and she would say, 'If I'm ever like that, honey, just pull the plug.' But of course, when the time came," she says, "there was no plug. In my mom's last years of life, she was no longer able to decide what she wanted for dinner, let alone what she wanted for medical treatment. So the decisions fell to Ellen, the daughter. Another bone marrow biopsy, a spinal tap, pain treatment, antibiotics. I was faced with cascading decisions for which I was unprepared. And even after all the years that," she says, "I had written about these issues, I was still blindsided by the inevitable." Ellen continues, "The last thing my mom would have wanted was to force me into such bewildering, painful uncertainty about her life and death. I realized only after her death how much easier it would have been for me, and perhaps for her, if I had her voice in my ear telling me what she wanted. If only we had talked about it. And so," Ellen concludes, "I never want to leave the people I love that uneasy and bewildered about my wishes. It's time for us to talk." Now, wanting to help others not be in the dark about their loved ones' wishes, Ellen founded the Conversation Project. That's the organization I work with. And at the Conversation Project, we aim to normalize talking about our wishes by getting people to talk around their kitchen tables or in their congregations, not waiting until there's a crisis in the ICU. Now, when I say have the conversation, what am I talking about? Well, it's a conversation about the kinds of care you would want or not want all the way through till the end. Where would you want to be? Who would you want to be caring for you? How involved do you want others in your care and knowing what your medical situation is? What's most important to you? What makes your life worth living? Who do you trust to be there when you're at your most vulnerable? It's a conversation about what matters to you, not just what's the matter with you. That's the conversation. Now, while these are crucial conversations, I get it that they are not easy or necessarily familiar ones. We're not fabulous about this in our culture. So that's why we created a conversation starter kit. It's literally that, a step-by-step guide on how to think, reflect, articulate your wishes, your feelings about these tender topics. But you know, having the conversation requires more than our starter kit. To begin having the conversation, I can tell you here, requires spiritual courage. It requires diving deep into our heart and mind and conscience to discover what matters most, to investigate how do we deal with challenge or uncertainty, to discern who and what do we trust to uphold us when we have to walk through the valley of the shadow. To do this spiritual development work, it's good to have a community, to have people around you, to tell stories and support one another, to hold one another accountable, and to wrestle faithfully with difficult questions, share values, and listen with care and compassion to one another, even when what we want to talk about is not easy to listen to. Having the conversation requires spiritual courage, but I also think it cultivates spiritual courage. Because you see, we won't be just having this one giant monolithic conversation. It won't be just this one time intense, everything on the table and we're done. We never have to talk about it again. Thank you very much. It's going to be many tender conversations over time with all the people in our circle of care. So in that way, it's like kind of going to the gym for your soul. And you get stronger each time you engage in this practice, each time you take on these conversations. And ultimately, I think it's a practice that nourishes our sense of awe and joy and gratitude for this one amazing life we have been given, right? This is the day we have been given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a practice for awakening to the simple, beautiful, ordinary blessings of our lives. And isn't that why we come together every week? Now, there's an opportunity, Jim, for your soul this afternoon. To start exercising your spiritual courage with others here at Church of the Crossroads. After the service today at 12:30, Jeanette and I will be over in Weaver Hall leading a conversation starter kit workshop for you. I think there's food, too, in between, which is we're trying to get you to come. So we asked for pre-registration, but if you've decided now, oh, I'd really like to go to that and I didn't register, please just see Jeanette and let her know, okay? We'd love to have you. And if you can't come today and you're interested in how you can start having these conversations, then you can find a free conversation starter kit on the Kakua Mau website or at theconversationproject.org. And Jeanette, again, will tell you more about how to find that, kakuamau.org, or just ask her. She wants to help you. Friends, we know that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Lent is a beautiful time to strengthen or begin a spiritual practice. So consider, please, when would be a good time for you to have conversation? Amen.